Coming to you now is Lehem Panim with your host, Pastor Cameron Urey, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Hello and welcome to the show today. As you know, we have been talking about the conversion of Saul on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. Saul encounters Jesus, and that encounter, it forever changes the course of his life. And we see that right after he leaves the presence of Ananias, through whom God gave Saul the Holy Spirit. Saul goes out, and as anybody who truly encounters Jesus is always compelled to do, he immediately begins sharing the good news of the gospel with others. It says, immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, "Is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that Jesus is the Christ. Now, the phrase "the Jews," it doesn't mean all Jews. Of course, since many Jews had believed in Jesus, and Paul himself was a Jew. But from this point forward in the book of Acts, Luke often uses the phrase "the Jews" as a shorthand expression to refer to Jewish people who opposed the gospel. And often it's the leaders of communities who are involved in this rejection. But after these unbelieving Jews are confounded by Saul's witness and testimony, it says, "Now after many days were passed," and that period of many days, it was very likely a period of 3 years, a period that Paul writes about in his epistle to the Galatians. And many believe that this period of 3 years, it actually took place between verses 21 and 22. Saul, rather than immediately traveling to Jerusalem to be instructed by the apostles, he instead went to minister in Nabataean Arabia, which was a wilderness desert that stretched east of Damascus, all the way down to the Sinai Peninsula. Now, why God wanted him to go there, we don't really know fully. But it seems that God wanted to get him to a quiet place where he could teach him his word through the new lens of Jesus Christ, to instruct him, to prepare him to be an effective apostle. And he did that to Saul directly, because Saul says very clearly in Galatians 1:16, where he's describing this experience, he says, "I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus." So, the first part of Saul's Christian education, it seems to have been given by God himself. And that's because God knew that Saul, he wasn't yet ready for ministry. No, he had to reprocess the Old Testament through the new lens of Jesus. And until he did that, he was not ready for full-time ministry. And, you know, I think that's a lesson to you and to me as well. While Saul did not wait to evangelize, there was a time of preparation that was necessary to his overall ministry. And that's why if you want to go into full-time ministry, you will most likely want to go to seminary. And that's not to say that God can't use a non-seminary grad, but you'll never be able to give people what you don't already know and what you haven't already experienced. And that's why it's so important for church leaders to be educated. I'm telling you, you don't know what you don't know. When I got to seminary, I was blown away with how little I actually knew and how much more there was for me to learn in order to be not just a Christian leader, but even just an informed Christian. I remember feeling as I sat in many of my seminary classes, there's not a Christian alive who doesn't need to hear what I'm hearing right now. And that's why it's so critical that the church as a whole recapture an emphasis on Christian education, even and especially inside the church. Church is supposed to be more than just a place of worship. It's to be a place of teaching. You ought to come to church and not only be fed, but taught how to be able to find nourishment yourself, how to find strength in God's word yourself. You ought to be taught how to do Bible study, how to apply your Christian worldview to your understanding of the times and of the culture, how to witness, how to contend for the faith. Church was, back then, and is just as much a place of the mind as it is of the heart. In fact, in Hebrew, you can't separate those two concepts. Heart and mind always go together. And that's why Paul, in writing to the Philippian church, he writes, "God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight." You see, if you want to be an effective Christian, you need to cultivate a love for learning, which always, always, always accompanies a Christ-like faith. There's a transformation, a renewal of the mind that accompanies the renewal of the heart, which Romans 12:2 talks about. And that's something Saul definitely experienced in his own life, and in a special way during this wilderness experience. Now, it is possible that during this time, Saul went to the area near Mount Sinai, which we read about in Galatians 4:25, which was a journey that would have taken a considerable amount of courage and strength. It may have been during this time that he experienced the perils of robbers and perils in the wilderness that he writes about in 2 Corinthians 11. We don't know for sure. But it seems likely that he also did some evangelizing, because when he returns to Damascus after that three-year period in Nabataean Arabia and wherever else he journeyed during those 3 years, we find he already was a marked man. And so once again, I want to emphasize that while there is a time of preparation, we should never wait to share the gospel. Saul was sharing the gospel from the moment he first received Christ. Immediately, it says. And he started doing so right where he was, first in Damascus and then in the wilderness. And that's what you and I are to do as well. Don't wait to share the miracle of what Christ has done for you. Yes, God may call you somewhere else. He may call you into the ministry or as a missionary, both of which require a ton of prep. But we can also begin sharing Christ right away. In fact, we have to, because if we don't, our faith will always wither. It's often when we're sharing Christ, participating with him in his ministry, that we are most growing in our walk with Christ. Now, at this point, Saul returns to minister in Damascus. And the narrative in Acts, it picks up here in verse 23. It says, "Now after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down through the wall in a large basket." And this basket was a large woven hamper that was suitable for hay, for straw, bales of wool, that kind of thing. And it's an unusual but effective means for his escape. And after this, we're not sure about the time gap. Some actually place Saul's three-year stint at this point, between verses 25 and 26, instead of earlier. But regardless, it's not until 3 years after his conversion that Saul finally makes it to Jerusalem. And it says, "And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles." And we know from Galatians chapter 1 that he actually only met two of the apostles at this point, and these two apostles were Peter and James. And it says, "And he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." And after hearing this, they receive Saul into their fellowship, which is made clear in verse 28, which says, "So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and out." And Galatians 1 also reveals that this was a period of only 15 days. But in that time, Saul is witnessing. It says, "And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus." Now, Caesarea was an important port city on the Mediterranean that was located about 30 miles north of Joppa. It was the capital of the Roman province of Judea and the home of the Roman procurator, and so it served as kind of the headquarters of a large Roman garrison. And so that was a safe place for Saul to withdraw to. But then from there, it says, the disciples sent him out to Tarsus. And it's at this point that Saul disappears from prominent ministry for several years, although he possibly founded some other churches around Syria, around Cilicia. And it says in verse 31, "Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified." And that was due in large part to Saul's conversion, which in itself greatly reduced the persecution that the church had been facing during that time. But also, there was a number of key political changes that also contributed to this time of peace and rest. You had a stricter Roman governor, and also Herod Agrippa's authority also was extended. And so both of those factors served to help kind of restrict the persecution. And you know, I think that just shows that God can use evil people to work out his plan of salvation. But even if the political climate didn't change, these early Christians, they wouldn't have been fazed even just a little bit. For it says, "And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied." You see, it was the Spirit of God who was their comfort and strength, not what was going on in the world. And that's why they thrived even when times weren't so good. And you know, the same ought to apply to us even today. As bad as this world seems to be getting, for we who fear the Lord, we don't have to be worried. We don't have to pull out our hair in anxiety and fear. We know that God has not and will never abandon his church, and that he'll preserve us, he will keep us. And that goes for the church as a whole, but it also, as we see here in the book of Acts, it goes for us as individuals as well, which we see here with Paul. You and I, we may have to crawl into some baskets in our lives, but God will be faithful to be a shield, to be a fortress for us, as we continue to do his work. And so what we need to learn from this is that if we choose to strive for anything, we must strive for the experience that Saul had in this chapter. We need to strive to meet Jesus in every possible way, to meet him in song, to meet him in prayer, to meet him in church, in our Bible study, in our devotions, in our ministry to those who need his touch. If we meet Jesus, our lives will forever be transformed, and the world just might be impacted and forever changed because of you. And so let us be intentional to, as often as we can, meet with Jesus. Let's do so. Amen.
Today's episode of Lehem Panim has been made possible by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel, or would like to request any of our messages here on Lehem Panim, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or lehempanim.org. You can also find us on both Facebook and Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.